You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League, the Champions League and the Europa League as well. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle. Here are today's topics. We'll discuss the fallout from the international break and how it will affect the upcoming Premier League weekend fixtures, what Cristiano Ronaldo's return to Old Trafford this weekend might be like, and we'll preview some of the key matches this weekend. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Okay, Rob, let's start with this fallout from the international break stuff and COVID kind of rules from different federations and different countries to the governments. There's a lot going on. So I just kind of summarize it here. I've just got a little report here. It says... reports are that federations from Brazil, Mexico, Paraguay, and Chile will look to enforce a FIFA rule that would prevent players from those countries from playing for their Premier League clubs because they were not allowed to play for their national teams when caught up this past international break.
Yeah, and it's an important statement, Rob, because when you think of the quality of players we're talking about, for Liverpool, we're talking about Alisson, Fabinho, Roberto Firmino, for Man City, we're talking about Edison, and Gabriel Jesus, Thiago Silva from Chelsea, Fred from Manchester United, Rafinha from Leeds, Raul Jimenez from Wolves, Miguel Almiron from Newcastle, and Francis Serralta from Watford. And several players will miss out this weekend as well because they will not have quarantined after playing these games for their countries. So you've got Lo Celso, Romero, Davinson Sanchez for Spurs, Martinez, Emilio Martinez, and Emi Buendia for Aston Villa. It's just, we're at a stage, Rob, where it's becoming difficult if you're going to go and play international football and then come back into the Premier League. It looks like you're going to miss a week, 10 days of action, which could be two games, which at this stage of the season could be 6 points. That could be a big difference in the way that the season goes. I mean, this can't continue, Rob, can it? I mean, it's almost an untenable situation. And I'm just thinking as a player, well, you know, I remember pulling on the national shirt and having great pride in doing that. But I think it's going to start to question whether it's worth going away.
Well, listen, of taping this podcast, Rob, these are the rules that are right now. Now, we know that there's negotiations going on with certainly the UK government to say, can there be some way that they don't have to quarantine for 10 days when they return from these red, amber countries or whatever it is, the specifics on that. There's also talk about FIFA, this FIFA 5-day rule that that these four countries are going to invoke to say, listen, they didn't release the players that we asked for. We want to make sure they can't play in their countries for 5 days. 5 days is less than 10-day quarantine. To teams in the future say, you know what, they're not going because, and we'll suck up the 5 day because it's only going to be probably one match week. Or some of them it might not be. Champions League football coming in, Rob, as well, midweek. Yeah. It's a real mess. And I think the worry is that we've got another international break in October, another one in November, Rob. It's going to be the same situation. There's a ton. I mean, you read it's a lot of players that could miss a lot of football.
But aren't we talking, there's two situations in this, isn't it? It's the players who don't go because the countries are on the red list, and then they evoke this FIFA rule. But really, those federations don't have to. I mean, I think most Salah's a good example of he didn't go to play for Egypt because they were on the red list country, and Egypt haven't evoked this rule. So Mo Salah is now being allowed to play for Liverpool. But obviously, the likes of Brazil, Mexico, Paraguay and Chile are not going that route. Now, that just seems like they're not working with the clubs. They're kind of forcing their hand and almost like flexing their muscles when I'm not sure to whose benefit.
And to follow on from...
Yeah, go on. I was just going to say before you finish. Bad relationships between federations and Premier League clubs, there's only going to be one winner.
Yeah, well, the football clubs, if it goes down to that. To follow on from your point, Rob.
Yeah.
Richarlison, who again didn't go to international duty for Brazil. Brazil are not insisting that he gets the 5 day FIFA ban, if you like, for playing for his club. Basically, because he's been a good egg, and they let him go. They let Everton go for him go in the Olympic Games for Brazil. Richarlison did a great job there.
Played Gold Cup, didn't he?
He did all this stuff. So the Brazil were like, "No, not Richarlison. Everton, you're okay. We like him, and you can play." But other clubs,
it's pick and choose. I mean, it almost doesn't feel right. Like, be consistent then. Either do it across the board or not. Yeah. I mean,
so it's a FIFA thing as well, Rob, isn't it? It's a
FIFA. Of course, you've got it.
Listen,
yeah.
It's there, Rob, to protect clubs from saying, so Mo Salah, for example, you've been brilliant for us. We don't want you to go there because I need you for the next couple of games. There's got to be some kind of consequence for that, I suppose. But, this just seems, and I know it's unprecedented times, and I know this virus is going on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing our producer talked about, producer Jorge. We had a little chat beforehand, Rob, and he's saying, it's a great suggestion, but it's going to be too late to do anything. He's basically saying is, given what we're seeing now, isn't there an argument that for October, November and March, forget about forget about those international breaks, more Premier League games in, maybe some midweek games, so that the Premier League season and the European seasons, domestic seasons can end May, April, May. And then say, okay, international players, go off your teams and go and get all your qualifying done for the World Cup, because that's what it is right now. All these teams are trying to find the dates. There's hardly any dates. We know that. Mm. It's the international break, Rob, teams, there's three qualifying games going on in that amount of a 10-day window, whatever it is. It's just so much football. Again, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, in principle, it's a good idea. How easy it's going to be to do. There's got to be good. At the moment, my worry is that the communication between the clubs through the federations and through FIFA is not strong enough, Rob. It's not helpful. And at the moment, everybody's just looking out for their own gain. And that's not going to solve the problem, solve the issue. At the moment, the players get stuck in the middle. I remember many moons ago, and I hate harping back, but I remember when I was playing for Jamaica, there were times when I had a relationship with the Jamaican FA and the coach. Well, I wasn't flying out to all the games, Rob. The amount of games, of qualifying games, we'd already sat down and said, I was a Premier League player on a different fixture schedule, and we picked the games when I would go, because I couldn't afford to be missing for 10 days, 2 weeks of a season. That could be three or four games. It might be the difference for us whether we're above a line or below a line or mid-table or pushing at the top. And it was only that communication, it was only those relationships that allowed me to further it and go on and have the Jamaican career that I had. And I just feel for some of these star players now, they've got to be in a position where they can talk with the clubs, with the federation, and work out the best solution for all parties involved.
Just going back to this weekend, Rob, and who might be most affected. Mm. It looks like, I mean, Liverpool are away at Elland Road. They're playing Leeds, which is not an easy game. They could be without Alisson. their goalkeeper, of course, Fabinho midfield, and Roberto Firmino, who I think has an injury as well. That's three players that might knock them out. You look at the ones that did go and happened to quarantine. You mentioned them, Davinson Sanchez, Christian Romero, and Giovanni Lo Celso. I mean, for other teams, you know, it's Thiago Silva from Chelsea, it's Fred from Man United. Others can probably handle it okay. Yeah. But who knows what the next set of fixtures is going to be on the back of the next break in October and November.
Man City is an interesting Rob, because obviously Edison is part of that and Gabriel Jesus. But from Man City's point of view, you've got Edison. Then number two is Zach
Steffen. Yeah.
Who's out already. So we may be going to our good friend Scott Carson, who I think had his pipe and slippers up and was just getting ready to settle in the garden for retirement. I mean, we saw him, didn't we, against Newcastle, I think, after they won the title last year. I think
it wasn't great.
42 years of age, it wasn't great. It was a bit creaky. You needed a bit of WD-40 on the joints to get down and handle the ball. I mean, it could be that Manchester City go into the game this weekend, Rob, having... Mm-hmm. Against Leicester, you know, it's a decent Leicester team that's motivated with Scott Carson in goal. I mean, that just doesn't quite feel right, fair.
And it's just as fans of the league, Rob, like, to finalise it for me, it's like, we're so excited for this league. We're so excited for the teams at the top and how they've really, like, isn't it such a blimmin' annoyance? It's a frustration that, you know, we ain't going to see, like, through quarantine. Like, I've just gone, we're both working this weekend, Rob, and we're going through our... You know, all the preparation notes and all the injury reports and everything else. There's so many teams have got, like, well, quarantining, COVID issues or FIFA ban. I mean, it's so frustrating. We all want to see the best teams. We've just seen a transfer window. Again, players are moving around. We'll get to that in a minute. I just can't wait to see the teams playing their best version of themselves, given the new signings. But these international breaks, and I know they're necessary, and we love international football. It's just like, come on, like, It's just difficult to see at the moment. Now, I just don't know going forward, Rob, what FIFA are going to do, whether we're going to have the same situation in October, November, because the virus isn't going to change, you know, predominantly in the next kind of few weeks. So, yeah, it's just something we thought we'd mention.
Yeah, it's interesting. And the other thing, Robert, in sort of closing for me, just that there was a period, maybe let's say 3, 4, 5 years ago where I think the general public are done with international football. It was almost a bit like club football became more important in the international games and the old break. People dropped their interest in football, and that's been rejuvenated again. I think the pandemic helped, great Euros helped, some great football competitions over the summer, the start of the Premier League. Everybody's back loving football, and I think international football has to be careful that it doesn't get soiled again and have that effect where people are not supporting it in the manner that they are now. Because it'd be a shame. International football has its place, and we've seen at its very best is a fantastic spectacle. But with some of the things that are going on, I think it's going to leave a bad taste in people's mouths. And,
but not if Arsene Wenger gets his way, Robbie Earl.
I was just going to mention that, my friend. The great Arsene. I don't even know where my Arsene pajamas are. I think they're in retirement with Scott Carson. But yeah, the great Arsene Wenger's come with a suggestion of every 2 years biannual World Cup. I mean,
first, my initial reaction, don't mind it.
What?
Don't mind it.
Come on.
Every 2 years?
Every 2 years? World Cup? No.
We love it, don't we?
We love it. World Cup. And we love it being special, and we love it every 4 years. That makes
a long time to wait.
You have it, and then you sit on your crown, and everybody else has a chance to come out. We get our Euros in between, so that's our little kind of...
Yeah, you still get those in between. You still get the Confederations Cups in between. I mean, World Cup, I just...
Well, how do we get a Euros in between?
You do, like the off years.
1 year.
Yeah.
One year. World Cup, Euros.
Bring it on.
No, must be. Come on. Even the great Arsene Wenger, I think it's been on the sherry for that one. I'm not quite sure how you got to that one.
Right, let's move it on, my friend. Biggest story of this weekend. Hit it. What is it?
Biggest story of many weekends is CR7 in number 7. Back in the red of Manchester United, at Old Trafford, full house against Newcastle United. I mean, doesn't get much bigger than that. One of the all-time greats returning to the Premier League. And there's been a lot of hype and there's been a lot of marketing and there's been a lot of headlines. But quite rightly so, mate, when he's that good, when he's that big, when he makes that influence, when he makes that, carries that much attention that he affects share price and stock values and the shirt sales. We're talking about a special individual, a special player. And we quite rightly should be lauding that he's back in the Premier League for the next couple of years.
Some people, Rob, would argue that he's the best player that's ever played the game. You know, if you're one of those that thinks right now between Messi and Ronaldo, and those that and a significant amount prefer Ronaldo, you know, that's what we're talking here. One of the best players that's ever played the game is coming back to the Premier League in a squad that's been getting better the last two or three years under the new Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. The recruitment's been really good. I want to attack this in two ways, Rob, if you don't mind. I think, first of all, how good is he going to be? And then the second part of it is, how does he fit into the team? How does the team look and kind of, you know, with him in it and what it does to other players? So first of all, just on his impact, Rob, in terms of, you know, how good is he going to be at Manchester United, given he's 36 years of age? He's a different player now that left, of course, a wide player that was incredible in different ways. Now he's an out-and-out goal scorer. Yeah. Give me your sense of how successful, how good he's going to be come the end of the season.
I think my headline of in answering how good he's going to be, what influence will he be, the effect he has, is for me, Rob, there's absolutely no downside. I know people, and it's common nature, maybe the world we live in, that everybody will start writing good things, and then there'll be a number of people who will write, well, he's 36 years of age. Well, he might affect the dressing room. Oh, will he be, you know, will Pogba have a problem and all that stuff? Don't get it. Don't believe it. Don't think. First of all, I want to talk about his age. 36 years of age. I don't know if you saw the two goals he scored for Portugal, makes him now the top international goal scorer. Pulled off his shirt, Robbie Musto. That's not a body of a normal 36-year-old man. I mean, this guy's a freak. He's an absolute freak of nature. He's probably got the numbers and the stats and the body fat and all the things of a 26-year-old. So he's not your normal 36-year-old. In terms of what he can do, he scored more goals than Romelu Lukaku in the league last season. More goals. Yep. So his output isn't going to get any worse. What's he going to add to Manchester United? We've been saying for a while, there's probably two spots Manchester United need to fill. Well, three spots, if you think of the centre-back that they've got, Jadon Sancho, a wide player, a centre-forward, and then probably to add all the things, maybe a defensive midfield player. They've got all three of those but one, maybe the defensive midfield player. Yep. So he starts to bring you the... Everyone's going, Lukaku's the final piece, the missing piece for Chelsea. Ronaldo can be the missing piece for Manchester United. And he brings, Rob, a mentality. Some people are saying, ooh, could have an effect on some of the young players, could hold Greenwood back. I don't get it. I see Cristiano Ronaldo, who's come in and lauded Sir Alex Ferguson, talked about what this club means to him, was going to put his arm around Mason Greenwood and go, you, my friend, are going to be the best English striker in the league. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to show you. You're going to watch me. You're going to follow me. I'm going to teach you how to become a top professional and centre-forward. I just, Rob, don't see any negatives that can come out of this from Manchester United and all the point of view. Probably the biggest one, if I had to say, will be, is this manager good enough to handle what is now in front of him? And that's the question that we've been asking for the last 18 months with the manager.
I think just okay, so on the first part for me, and of course, I agree with a lot of that. I really strongly agree with the mentality, Rob. And it's almost like it doesn't matter what he's won before as a team player, as an individual. His insatiable drive to win is extraordinary. And, you know, everybody's got their opinions about Messi and Ronaldo. I mean, there's no other player on the planet that's as driven and as motivated to win as him. And you add into that some of the stuff he said about Sir Alex Ferguson. I've read even more this last couple of weeks about when he signed for the club and what Sir Alex Ferguson did for him. I mean, there's a really, really strong, respectful link between those two, which will drive it on even more. The excitement that the fans will get, Robbie Earl, and we know a ton of Man United fans, they're like flipping excited beyond belief at the moment. It's a little bit sickening, I've got to be honest. I'm a little bit sickened. Like, they're smiling all the time. The feel-good factor around Old Trafford is going to go through the roof. In terms of his performances, Robin, his numbers. I have got a slight doubt that the Premier League's level defensively, shape-wise, mindset of a lot of teams might make it a little harder than people. Listen, I'm not saying he's not going to score. I can see your face.
I'm not saying,
because his numbers are ridiculous. I have a little doubt he'll score quite as many as everybody thinks, and it might be a little bit tougher than most expect for him to get the big number of goals. What's he got now, Rob? He's got 35 games. Games have already gone. Yeah. 35 games. He's not going to play in all of them, Rob. He's going to play, what, like 30 Premier League?
Maybe 30-ish.
I mean, one in two is 15 goals.
Free kicks, penalties.
Yeah, he'd be on penalties, won't he? I just imagine he'd be on all that stuff.
I would have thought he'd be on penalties in free kicks.
He's going to...
My only question with that, Robin, and I hear your point, and it's a valid point, but I'll go back 12 months to Patrick Bamford. He's been a Championship player. Oh, he's not good enough for the Premier League. Comes in the league and scores 17 goals last season. 70, Ollie Watkins, you know, Championship player. This guy's been at another level to them. And I know you're talking about the Premier League and the speed and the better defending. This guy scored goals in Italy. This guy scored like 60-odd goals in Spain. Yes, I know Spain has different levels and maybe they're not at the same. This guy's, he's not like a Championship kid who we're thinking, what's he? He's playing the Premier League. He knows it. He scores international goals for fun. I'm not saying he's going to get 30 goals in the Premier League, but if he plays enough games and given the opportunities, he will be 15 to 20 goals for Manchester United.
I'm just trying to think of an over-under number, Rob. Like I think 18 goals over or under Premier League goals.
You've got to give me games. I've got to know the games. I've got to get over.
I don't care.
Games.
It's not. I'm hitting you right now. And I'm thinking under.
Under 18.
Yeah. He's going to play 30. I mean, I'm saying
with 30 games playing for Manchester United.
You think he'll get more than eight? I mean,
he gets penalties and free kicks. I think he can get 20 goals.
20. Yeah. All right. We'll see. All right, next part of it, Rob, is where he fits into the team, because I'm fascinated and everybody's fascinated about how he's going to fit in. Where's he going to play? Where's everybody else going to play? So,
I mean, he's going to play in his favourite position, Rob. He's going to play centre forward. Yeah.
He's going to play centre forward.
Correct.
What does that mean to everybody else, though, Rob? Where's everybody else play? Mason Greenwood, that we have, I mean, particularly me, I've loved what he's done so far and what he can potentially do. How much, first of all, on Greenwood, how much could it inhibit his development?
I don't think as much as people think, because I think this kid's talent will speak for itself. I think Mason Greenwood might get pushed wider in on a number of occasions, which still can learn his trade, might actually be take away a bit of physicality from him that people can get tight to him and stop him playing when he's central. There'll be games when he will play when Ronaldo maybe starts on the bench. There'll be games whether it's Champions League, certainly cup games, that he'll still get his numbers. I still think Mason Greenwood will play a healthy number of games. I think more of interest, and I think Jadon Sancho, once he gets up to speed, will play in one wide position. I think Greenwood will play in one position. And I think more in threat, Rob, for me, might be Marcus Rashford.
Yeah.
Marcus Rashford may not be a shoo-in when he's fit to start in Manchester United best 11.
Well, that's what's interesting. So if we're going to say Ronaldo as a number nine, and this is the best team if he had to, you know, So we're thinking wide right with Mason Greenwood's left foot coming in. That's probably going to be his position for a little while.
Yeah.
Greenwood at wide right. Mm-hmm. So wide left, which has been, by the way, it's been Rashford, it's been Martial, it's been Jadon Sancho, and it's been Paul Pogba, right, which we'll get to. Who's going to play the left side? Jadon Sancho? When
Jadon Sancho starts. He's a ton of money. Right, paying $100 million,
Okay, so Sancho left, Bruno Fernandes is number 10, and Mason Greenwood is the right side of player.
Mason Greenwood stroke Marcus Rashford. I think that's going to be a bit of how form is on that one.
So, Paul Pogba, you are now committing to a central midfield position.
Yeah.
In their best team. So you trust him to play alongside either Fred or McTominay to win this Premier League title week in, week out. Do you trust him to do that? Like, he plays there for France, or has played there for France.
Yeah, yeah.
He hasn't been played there a lot, Rob. Not going to Solskjaer. It's not trusting him much.
But the signing of Ronaldo changes it all dynamics, Rob, and quite rightly so. There are times when I believe Manchester United can go more of a 4-3-3. High from one side, Sancho, possibly left. High, Greenwood and Rashford one side, Cristiano Ronaldo. I think when Manchester United have good possession against 12 to 14 of the Premier League teams, they could have one holding with Pogba and Bruno Fernandes as a three.
He hasn't played a three, Rob, has he?
I'm not saying he has, but he hasn't had Ronaldo. He's not had Ronaldo. So I'm saying things might have to change. He might have to look at that, Rob. Managers can't just be stuck wedded to a system based and the new players come in and you don't adapt to those. Thomas Tuchel's shown us that he's adapted. Brendan Rodgers shows us that he's adapted. Pep's had to adapt. Ollie's going to have to adapt. Two holding midfield players, when you're playing Southampton, and you've had to sometimes play Fred and McTominay or McTominay and Pogba, I scratch my head. Why are we doing that?
He's doing it for the foundation that gives. Correct. And the protection of counter-attacking, which they have been a little bit vulnerable.
But if we keep the ball better, Rob, if we're better in the attacking third, if our safety positions, Paul Pogba can still play a hybrid 8 and 10. He can be between the two. It's doable. It's just that people are questioning, can he do it? Does he want to do it?
I'll go back to my old chestnut, Robbie Earl. Artists and soldiers. The team that we've just described, right? Yeah. Is that balance too attack, too flair, too attacker-minded, not enough defensive kind of stability? When you look at a Chelsea, it's Jorginho and Kante. There's always two players there. Mm. And I've got three at the back. Is there too many players that will go on?
You say that, Rob. It's a good point. You say that. And then I'm not saying against the top four or maybe six teams, I might throw a Leicester in there, I think, Dan. I might throw a Spurs in there at this time, probably not Arsenal, where I think, okay, can't quite go as attacking, but I've got to go more of a two. It's interesting you say Chelsea, because I think that's a really interesting one. Is Jorginho a better defensive midfield player than Paul Pogba?
He'll fill more holes, and he'll be more diligent about his defensive responsibilities.
No,
I get your point.
But I'm saying Paul Pogba motivated, understanding what role and wanting to do it, is a way better defensive midfield player. It's got way better tools than Jorginho and can burst from that position Yaya Toure style and drive the game. Now, we've seen glimpses of it with Pogba.
Right, so the last game against Wolves, the last Man United game against Wolves, Wolves had a lot of good chances there, Rob.
Yeah.
And I know that Paul Pogba played in the middle of the park. I get your point about certain teams he might play with two holding players.
Yeah.
I understand that, but I'm not... I think they're vulnerable against other teams as well. I think there's enough teams that will pack it in and counter-attack Man United if they haven't got the balance right. And I'm not saying that I always want... I just worry that poor Pogba, you know, they got away with it against Wolves and they end up winning the game, fair enough. Like, all teams don't play great and get the 3 points well done. I just think over a period of time, that position, I watch it like a hawk as if he continues to play there, because they've got so many attacking players in other areas that Pogba, to be influential, is going to be better in the middle. I just worry, Rob, that they're going to get caught out in ways that viewers don't really see it. They don't really see the spaces that he leaves when a player has got a little bit more.
Well, you're making Paul Pogba the issue. This is a team issue. This is a balance team issue, Rob. It's not just Paul Pogba. Because I think that demeans the
yeah. Okay. All right. So is there going to be tons of defensive support by Jadon Sancho then, or Mason Greenwood, Rob, if it's more of a team defensive situation? I'm just talking about the balance here.
I hear you. But let's talk of Liverpool, because we can only make comparisons. When Liverpool are at their best, they have a Fabinho, maybe as a holding.
Yep.
Jordan Henderson, who can do it, but that's not his main game, but can do it. And then he has one next to him,
Wijnaldum. Like, defensive support in there. I mean, they're tremendous, like, defensive. That Liverpool midfield was...
It's not necessary. Those players weren't bought necessarily like, cool, they're great defensive. They done off, break the game up. They learned to do it in the team because it was an important part of the team. And they could condense you in your half of the pitch with that pressure and intensity. Wasn't so much physicality. Well, it was energy physicality. It wasn't tackles and
it was protecting that back four.
By the way, Bruno Fernandes doesn't get a free ride on this. When we have the ball, Bruno Fernandes has to do a better job of being the first point of defence. Paul Pogba, yes, has to do a better job. And the one that we decide, if it's Fred, if it's McTominay, if it's Matic, which needs the upgrade, has to do a better job. But I think it becomes more of a group and team thing and less of an individual. I don't think if Paul Pogba becomes a way better defensive midfield player, I don't think that gives Manchester United the title. I don't think that's the problem solved.
I think it'd be a huge addition, Rob, if Pogba somehow became a beast defensively, as well as a beast as he is with his football and his assisting passes and that, where he looks $1 million in his assists. If he could add that, he'd be a magnificent player.
He has to be a beast. So he could be the Jordan Henderson, let's say, for Liverpool, who's improved on his defensive side. He wasn't that player when he first went in. Based on, you know, the other person, the Fred is not good enough. The McTominay, you see moments.
I like him.
Could grow into one. The Matic, unfortunately, athletically, can't get around the game strong enough. If they had Declan Rice in that middle of the block sitting there, if they had Calvin Phillips sitting there, you would get enough from Paul Pogba with that one to be defensively strong enough. But because you've got a weakness there, you're almost going to have to... You're saying, I've got to limit now Pogba or not play Pogba.
Well, I'll ask a question. Why has Paul Pogba played very few games in that position up to now?
Because it's not his strength. It's not his strength.
That's what I'm saying.
But he can get better, Rob. He can get better. Well, it wasn't Jordan Henderson's. I think he can. He's one of those players who could play anywhere, Pogba, if his head was on it. Really. He could play wide and in effect a game. He could play central in effect a game. He could play false nine in effect a game.
Yeah, listen, it's something that we differ a little bit, and it's going to be fascinating to see it going forward, mate. Of what Pogba's just been playing recently and the mindset that he's in right now, top class, brilliant. I'm just saying, if given these new players and Ronaldo and how that affects everybody else and Sancho, if he's going to play in the middle of the midfield with another one to win this Premier League title, he's got to show real qualities going forward, but also real qualities defensively. Plugging gaps, making challenges, you know.
Let me just ask you in finishing, Rob, because I think it's a good question. Would you play him then? Would you play him? And would you play him in those roles? I mean, this is a question, isn't it? I want to win the title. I've got Ronaldo now. I've got my setup there. I've got the guy in the back, Varane, who I think is the partner. I've got two decent fullbacks, an informed goalie, got a lot of good pieces. Now, if my worry is that, Rob, and I've got to make a big call, what are you saying?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't trust him, Rob. I would have flipping done everything that I could, and they might do in the future to get Declan Rice. I would prefer Pogba in an area of the field that's a little less crucial defensively. And that for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's been on the left-hand side. Mm. He's drifted in and been really, really good. If that means he's got to compete with Jadon Sancho, Rob, in that position? Maybe. I do like the idea of a different system for them, you know, with a 4-3-3. Pogba, I feel, is best in the number eight, you know, in a triangle. But then it's a bit different for Bruno Fernandes, who's great as a number 10, brilliant as a number 10. So I get why the system's being continued. And of course, there's a ton of games and there'll be a load of rotations. I like Paul Pogba with freedom, Rob. And the Paul Pogba I want playing in the middle of the park, yeah, he can't be quite so free because I'd need him to do a job in terms of protection and sniffing out danger and making, you know, because I think that's what's needed in this team. I just think it's fascinating, Robbie. Now, we'll monitor it. We'll talk about it.
We'll keep an eye. I mean, he's always... I remember speaking to him end of last year, and it was, you know, we had this conversation. I said, whenever Manchester United comes up, Paul Pogba becomes a centre of the conversation. Mm-hmm. I mean, because he's so good and people get so frustrated with him. He just said he's something I have to live with and we move on. So, yeah, we'll keep an eye over the course of the season. Obviously, Ronaldo coming in, we'll see how that affects some of the, you know, the bigger players. You know, interesting for, you know, the likes of Jesse Lingard, Rob, and Anthony Martial. How much football are they going to see this year? I mean, you wondered whether they, you know, they would go out in the window or not. It's a big squad, plenty of rotation, plenty of competitions. We'll see how well it goes.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Some of the games this week, just before we wrap things up, some really interesting games after we come back from the international break. We start off early, 7 a.m. Eastern Time on NBCSN, which is, I just think, a little cracker we're starting off with. Crystal Palace v Spurs. Yeah. So we've got Patrick's Palace and Nuno Spurs. And Spurs started particularly well. Palace picking up their first point with a 2-2 draw against West Ham last time out. What are we thinking about Tottenham winning the league?
I'm liking Tottenham, mate. I know it's early. Things you say now and you feel strongly about now, you know, of course, could come back and bite us all on the backside. But the team is changing. The team is evolving. It's different. Given the transfer window, Christian Romero, like highly respected central defender. Yeah. Emerson Royal, a really good, strong defensive player that's got qualities going forward. You could see a five at the back. Tanganga could come in, Robbie Earl, and make a three-man defensive unit with Dyer, with Christian Romero.
Which is Nuno's style, isn't it?
With Sergio Reguilón, that's good going forward. You know, we talked about Emerson at right back. Oliver Skip is new to this season. Dele Alli is new to this season. Different players. Højbjerg, we know they're going to get. And now Harry Kane is staying at the football club. You know, you've got some pace there. And if it means that Spurs are going to be more counter-attacky than they've been in the past, I don't mind it. Nobody minds a team that's got a plan and executes it really well. With Heung-min Son, with Bergwijn, Son's an injury doubt, by the way. With Bergwijn and with Lucas and with Kane. Dele from midfield. There's a interesting-looking, powerful Spurs counter-attacking predominantly team with a defensive improvement given this transfer window. I think it's quietly, you know, going quite well there.
Yeah, considering what was going on in the summer, nobody wanted the job, they took a Kane going and all kinds of disruption.
Good start for
Nuno. Nuno's done a great job. And what I'm hearing, one or two friends back in England are telling me, he's really united that training ground, mate. He's got people happy again. He's got his arm around people. He's talking to people. Very different from Jose Mourinho and the way that Mourinho went about his business. And, you know, listen, this is a guy who came into the Premier League and got Wolves 2-7 finishes, playing this kind of football with probably lesser quality players. So, yeah, totally agree. Love what he's doing there. Like to see Harry Kane get his head down now, start scoring a few goals in the Premier League. And getting Spurs, you know, keeping Spurs in there. Listen, we talked about four teams. Listen, they're not going to win the title, but it'd be nice to see them stay in there and jostle around for a little bit.
Yeah, if one of the top four, everybody thinks going to finish in the top four, have a bad time, totally possible, absolutely possible. And Spurs will have a shout. They'll have a shout if they continue on this pattern. And back to Nuno real quick. He's got something about him, Rob, that's likable. He's very likable. Yeah. We met him when he first got the Wolves promoted. It's one of the meetings. We've had a ton of meetings with managers and players over this 8-year period of NBC covering the Premier League. That meeting with Nuno was like, wow. He was one determined, focused, impressive guy in that pre-season interview we had. And I think, you know, even the start he's had, the reaction the fans from him, Rob, and the players' reaction, and you know, wow, they got that great start. They've got a bit of ball going here. If they can keep it going. He's added to the team sensibly. For whatever reason, you know, we've talked about it a lot, Rob. Harry Kane is there. And with the professional that he is, he's going to be fired up. I just think they're an interesting team to watch. And a lot of people are poo-pooing it. Oh, they ain't got the quality, whatever. Okay, that's fair enough. I just kind of like what I'm seeing, given the pieces, given Dele, given Skip, given the new signings defensively. Yeah. Could be
a few injuries this weekend. Could be up to six key players. I mean, obviously some from travel problems,
quarantine,
quarantine, and son, and obviously Skip picked up a knock in the under-21. So, but I tell you the one thing I guarantee you: when Nuno comes out and does his press conference, no excuses, mate. He doesn't allow excuses. Didn't have him at Wolves when they're playing all those games in Europa, and that won't allow him with Spurs as well. So, yeah, good one to look forward to. And obviously, keep an eye on Patrick at Palace.
Yeah.
Big game, my friend, at the Emirates.
Yes.
Arsenal, 10 o'clock kickoff on Peacock, Arsenal, Norwich. Arsenal, Norwich, I think four games into a Premier League would not get the headlines that this one is getting, my friend. Must win football day for Mikel Arteta. Anything but, Rob, and honestly, I'm not sure what's going to happen, but social media is going to blow up.
Well, I listened to another one that made me laugh on the radio yesterday. A relegation six-pointer, my friend. that's what kind of this one is. You are right. This is it. I mean, I've been a bit more supportive of the philosophy. It's pretty obvious what the road they've gone down with, trying to develop younger players and build a team for the future. I listened to Mikel Arteta yesterday saying that I get that's our philosophy, but I get the importance of now. And he's got to get how important this game is. There's some games, Rob, that can be defining, really. They've had a very, very tough start through their own poor performances, plus the fixture schedule and their injuries, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. This, I'm not sure I like the phrase must win, but it's super important that Arsenal play well and do what's expected. It's expected.
Points, isn't it? You're at home against newly promoted Norwich, one of the weaker teams in the league, who've, you know,
let you play
together and let you play and not seen as, you know, a Brentford. I think we saw the atmosphere, we saw the style of play, we saw a bit of physicality that they're upset them. Norwich aren't going to bring that. If Norwich outplay you at the Emirates and get a result, then we're starting. You know, you're going to Burnley the week after, and then you go to Tottenham. You go to Tottenham in the North London Derby. That's not good. And I know there's been talk during this window of Antonio Conte and whether they were trying to make contact with him. I think somebody'd be getting on the phone if that one did. So, yeah, important game for Arsenal. Leicester Man City's got a nice flavour about it. Always interesting in this game. Leicester beat Man City, was it last season? Was it 4-5-4 or something like that? Vardy got a couple of goals, didn't he? Remember the Jamie Vardy? Against Manchester City. And it's a City team. We talked about the goalkeeping situation. So Edison could be banned. Zach Steffen's got COVID. So it could be Scott Carson having to be in goal, depending on what comes out of these FIFA conversations. So not an easy one for City. Certainly never easy going to Leicester at the KP. Brendan Rodgers and his team, but good chance for Manchester City and to see where they are. Leicester's not quite been the start. Maybe they would have liked a few injuries and a few bad defensive errors that have cost them in games.
Yeah, I think Man City, we're still kind of watching them, Rob. And of course, we're all cognizant of last season when they didn't start well, and we all started to worry about, you know, the players and stuff. Was the message getting a little old? Obviously, they rebounded superbly well. But I do put this in that category of they've already lost one game, Rob, Man City. And if it's not a great performance, and Leicester, totally capable, as you said, of they beat them last year, of winning this game, you know, does City really fancy the tough road back? Maybe they'll do it again that they did last year. So I think even though it's really early, I just think sometimes you can get a bit of a sense of what the squad feeling like and how they might look for the rest of the season. This is a little bit of an indicator, early one, but an indicator for Man City. And they could, if they go out there and blow City, Leicester City away with their football, and like, wow, they're still at it. They've still got tremendous quality, you know, and some people have them favourites to win the title and maybe rightly so. But I just think it's an interesting game, Rob. This weekend's full of them.
Yeah, I just think that with City, the continual story is going to be the false nine, where they're not getting a centre forward, hurt them, or you know, Pep's going to be able to find a way as he did last season. Challenge for Pep and City at Leicester. Saturday, then we got Chelsea Villa. Again, interesting watch. Chelsea always a good watch. 12:30 p.m. Eastern time on Big NBC. Yep. Get another look at Chelsea, Rob. Impressive coming out 1-1 draw against Liverpool at Anfield, down to 10 men just before half-time. I think we both talked about, we were on a conference call this morning, the organisation, the discipline, the different ways of playing, the Lukaku missing piece, the groups together. Thomas Tuchel looks a serious dude. You know, and they, I can see why many people fancy them. The one thing, one of the things that I took away that he said before the Liverpool game, I've heard him say about after the Liverpool game, is this team are prepared to suffer, Rob. They don't. Yeah. They're prepared to go deep.
Well, we've seen it.
Come out the other side. We've not seen that of all the other top four teams yet. We're yet to see when and if they suffer, how they react. I think Chelsea have already shown us that they're prepared to go as far as it takes to try and win it this time.
You know my phrase, and Rob, and then my favourite word is durability. This Chelsea team, they showed the durability in the Liverpool game, as you said. They had to suffer a little bit with the work they had to do to secure that point. I've seen them play expansive and create and score goals and win games. I've seen them play counter-attacking. We know that Lukaku gives them a whole different range of ways to hurt their opponents, which is going to be crucial going forward. And also, just on a bigger picture of Chelsea, Rob, it's something like, if you think about it, you think about momentum and just spirit. I mean, you think about from the day he took over, like there was a sense of excitement. Of course, the league form went from average to really, really great. They go on this incredible run, the Champions League final, and win it against most people's prediction. Now they go into the summer window. They bring in a massive signing, Lukaku. They bring in Saul as well. It's like they're on the crest of a wave, like Liverpool were, Rob, a few seasons ago, where they didn't quite win the title, but they were like, they got really close, and then they won the Champions League, and it's like building to a crescendo. It's all pointing in the desire of drive, of it's their time, Chelsea, to win the Premier League. That's why I went for them to win the Premier League, and I think that's that feeling is quite strong. And I think when you're in a situation where you feel something, and I'm sure we've had it in our different little levels of the game, when you win something, when you feel something special's happening, it's real, and it just gives that extra bit of momentum for the players, just a belief and the energy that they'll put into a game to get it done. I just feel Chelsea are right in a nice spot in terms of the squad, in terms of the cover, in terms of youth and experience, and a manager that's fired up and rolls his sleeves up and drives the team forward. Like what they're doing so far. Only three games in, of course, and there's going to be, you know, some peaks and troughs through the way. But they started as most people have thought, pretty strong.
Yeah, absolutely. And just get the sense that it feels like, to me, they're in good hands. They're in the hands of somebody who's
they're in a good spot,
control of everything. And then Sunday, mate, we got one more big one. It'll be a full Elland Road as Leeds take on Liverpool. Again, we saw Liverpool trying to break down a 10-man man, Chelsea, not able to do it. Leeds team, who've not quite hit real form, but Dan James coming in is a huge boost. Talk about him possibly starting in this game. It's going to be interesting where he fits him in, with Rafinha one side and Jack Harrison the other side. I'm not sure. Yeah. Know, he's a wide man, Dan James. That's where he gets his position. Whether someone like Jack Harrison could come inside, Rob, and play as one of those middle 10 like he's played.
He also might play Dan James now, Rob. He might play Dan James in like a Rodrigo position.
Rodrigo, that central driver for midfield. But, looking forward to this one because we haven't quite seen the best of Leeds. They've not kicked into gear yet. And I think that's not far off coming against a Liverpool team that have found their way, you know, so far. Two wins and a draw against Chelsea. But looking to, you know, I think hit home the point that they're part of the race this time.
Yeah, they are. They are. They'll believe that. It is up to Jurgen Klopp to kind of insist on the highest standards, Rob, because that's what made them great a few years ago. Last season, through different reasons, it wasn't quite there. And the big question is, we've probably spoken on every chat about Liverpool, is just whether they've got the stomach to go again, really, and to be perfect. So far, they've had a really good start. Couldn't find a way through Chelsea's 10 men, but important players back defensively. Harvey Elliott being a bonus in midfield that looks very different to the midfield players they've got, which I think is important to have something different in that role. I know Mo Salah's negotiating a new contract right now, Rob, that's going to be really important. Like, to tie him up and get him happy is really important for Liverpool, because there's going to be a ton of clubs that will be interested if he doesn't sign a new contract and his contract starts to lessen in terms of its length. So, you know, I think Firmino, with this FIFA 5-day thing, there's doubts on Alisson, Fabinho, and Firmino. Harvey Elliott, there was an injury doubt. Minamino's out as well. So that's just your injury news going into it. But Leeds away, we've got a full pitch side representation for Arlo and Graham are going to be on site. This is Sunday, isn't it? 11:30 Eastern time. So our fans and viewers yet and listeners to this podcast, Rob, maybe haven't seen it, Ellen Road, when it's busy and it's flying and the passion and the fans there. It's pretty a special place. You know, we've played there tons of times. I had one of my worst ever days there, actually, in getting relegated at Leeds back in 1997. But wow, it's some place, some club, some bunch of fans. So that's going to be a great atmosphere.
Ellen Road can, in some respects, mirror what Anfield does for Liverpool, Ellen Road does for Leeds. It does not galvanise that team. And you'll see another speed, you'll see another level of play out of these Leeds players. So, as you say, really looking forward to that one. And we've got 2-hour build-up ahead of the game from 9:30 Eastern Time on NBCSN. So that wraps it up for this week, my friends. There was, I think, two massive returns in world football over the last week. There was a return from birthday celebrations and a trip to UK from Robbie Musto. And there was a return for the other guy, Cristiano Ronaldo. I don't know if you've heard of him. He returns to Manchester United. He's going to be wearing the famous number 7 jersey, possibly even this Saturday at home to Newcastle. Look out for our next podcast. That's on Sunday, September the 12th, when we'll look back on all those games from match week 4 and Ronnie's return. We'll talk about Chelsea, we'll talk about Spurs, we'll look at Manchester City, how they're going on at Leicester. And that Leeds game against Liverpool at a full Ellen Road should be an absolutely good watch. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, be healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.